Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
We have a new main event for WrestleMania in New York. I'll tell you why this move is so brilliant. So brilliant. WWE presents Elimination Chamber on Sunday. And don't look now, but NXT is on the upswing. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. And I will be on Hardcore Baseball with Matt McCarthy when his debut episode comes out. Taped that on my way home today. Mike, how are things?
Nice. Pretty good, Jimmy. Pretty good. Matt's a talented guy. Really do enjoy Hardcore Baseball. And glad to hear that's back in the fold again. So good for you to be a part of that show.
Because I am a baseball nerd first and foremost. I know most people think I'm a Celtics wrestling nerd, but I also, baseball is my first love after pro wrestling, so that would make it my second love.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I really wanted to start the podcast today gushing about Charlotte Flair being added to the main event and legitimately spend the entire podcast celebrating this.
No issue with that.
But the internet reacted last night, and it reacted with a lot of hate.
Right.
And I feel like it's my place as a broadcast journalist to make fans who might not understand what happened on Monday night understand.
Okay.
And I purposely delayed the podcast tonight because I felt like something was going to happen. You can call it informed, you can call it uninformed, whatever. I purposely delayed the podcast tonight because there was something brewing.
Well, yeah, all right, fine. I'll leave it at that. We'll have some fun with that. Go ahead. Continue.
So this year at WrestleMania, we'll start with where I think the bigger picture is.
Yep.
This year at WrestleMania, the WWE is going to have something it hasn't had since Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. It's a clear, good guy, good woman face walking into the main event and likely winning. Yep, that's right. Becky Lynch is going to get into this match again. She's going on last. This match is going on as the main event, and Becky Lynch is going to win. And if I were a betting man, I bet she taps out Ronda. So, go ahead.
No, all right. No, continue. I want to hear this, then I'll give you mine. Go ahead.
So, here's why Monday was so logical and so brilliant. Vince McMahon is the owner of the company. Vince McMahon is the only one who can pull Charlotte Flair from SmackDown and put her on Raw. Otherwise, they'd have to work out some sort of trade, and they don't want to do that, and it gets hodgepodge. But the smart crowd, as I use my quotation fingers, feels like Charlotte Flair is in the way of the one-on-one match of Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch that they want. So why not use Vince McMahon, who we all think really wants Charlotte Flair in the match, put her into the match, and it works for the fans who might not be smart. And it works for the smart fans who think that Vince McMahon is shoehorning her into the match. It's brilliant. And now Charlotte Flair walks into WrestleMania as a clear-cut villain.
Not only clear-cut villain, Jimmy, but I guess you could say the top villain in the company, because you know how Vince McMahon is and his character. When you have him behind you in that scenario, she is the top villain in the company. And as we've said over time, it's so much better to have her as a heel. So it's a great scenario here, great storytelling. It's almost reminiscent to kind of like the Vince, I mean, it's close, not close, but it's Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon.
There are a lot of people who are making those parallels with Becky Lynch. And there are similarities so far.
But it's going to be an uphill battle for her, just like Austin, to do that. And here we are.
Yep. So, and you add in this with Ronda Rousey. Yep. The WrestleMania crowd is going to hate Ronda because they think she's leaving.
Right.
Which really, Ronda doesn't deserve to be booed because she's had a fabulous year, first year in the WWE, and she hasn't done anything wrong outside of her being matched up with Becky Lynch.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Jimmy, I mean, we did our year-end awards the last week of 2018, and if Becky Lynch did not do what she did in SummerSlam and carry that...
It started at Money in the Bank. It started at Money in the Bank. That's when the organic groundswell began.
But if that didn't happen, Ronda Rousey would have been my superstar of the year. And, you know, that was a very close runner-up. Now, to what you said with Ronda Rousey having her tap out for Becky to win, here's where I'm going to part ways with you a little bit. Now, I think Becky will win the match, but what I think the WWE is going to do, they have Charlotte tap out to Becky, or...
They can't do that.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. You said your piece. Let me say mine, okay? Or you have her take the three, and then Ronda goes away for a little bit, and when she comes back, hey, Becky, you didn't get me. I'm still undefeated, technically. You didn't get me to do the pin, or you didn't get me to submit. So now I want a shot at the title. That's what I think is going to happen to keep that rivalry down the line, too.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that. There's one finish.
Why?
Because there's one finish that crowd is expecting, and that's Becky Lynch beating Ronda Rousey. Whether it's a pin or a submission, that's the finish that they're expecting when they go on last.
But what about Charlotte? She's in the match now. That's her former best friend.
You have the return matches with Charlotte and Becky, and now Charlotte is chasing Becky again.
I don't know, Jimmy. I think the crowd will be very...
Or you send Charlotte back to SmackDown.
So you're going to put both of them on Raw then?
Becky has to be on Raw. She's the red champion.
Well, yeah, when she does win at WrestleMania. But then you put Charlotte on there too?
I mean, they're going to do the shakeup, so it's probably going to end up that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But
I don't know.
You have to have that. If Becky is winning, she has to beat Ronda.
Okay.
And this is why I think they should do an elimination match. And this is something we talked about last week. Is you have to do an elimination match, and Becky beats Charlotte and Ronda.
Yeah.
Or you're going in the direction of you're thinking long and short term. The long-term play is Charlotte wins and taps out Ronda, or, you know, just beats her. So you could have Charlotte beat Ronda, eliminate her from the match, and then Becky beat Charlotte. And that way you get both things that you want long-term and short-term.
This is true. Now, regardless, however she does.
But I think that's the wrong finish for that crowd. I think that crowd is going there. You, Mike, you're going to WrestleMania to see Becky Lynch beat Ronda Rousey.
Well, yeah, and also I'm going to WrestleMania to see Becky Lynch win in the main event. That's what I'm going for. I think you're going to have a big pop for her no matter what. Now, the question is, though, in the storyline scenario, how does she get back into the triple to make it a triple threat? What do they do?
Oh, she comes out and she beats people up as she's suspended, and she'll do something. She'll take Stephanie McMahon hostage, and... Okay. You know, it'll force Vince to overturn the suspension. That's just a guess.
Well, I was going to say Ric Flair's birthday celebration is in a couple of weeks on Raw. You can bet your bottom dollar she'll be at that birthday celebration, spoiling it or something, and then they'll be forced to put her back in.
They can't do anything with Rick, though, because he's got enough health issues. He can't do anything.
Okay, maybe not then. All right. We'll see.
So he's... I don't know if this is public knowledge or not, but the hell with it. I believe he's got a colostomy bag.
Oh, okay.
So he can't do anything that would jeopardize that.
All right. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, not, she's going to go knock him out or something like that. But, you know, I could totally see her interfering or just spoiling the party altogether. But okay.
But they would have to do something like holding Ric Flair hostage or holding Stephanie McMahon hostage.
Yeah, just or go after Charlotte.
Well, so they hold Charlotte hostage. What is that? Like, Ric Flair's going to beg Vince McMahon to unsuspend Becky?
Well, Charlotte's not able to be a part of her dad's celebration because Becky's doing something. I'm just saying that I would not be surprised if she does something in that, if they have her, this all drawn out with Ric Flair's birthday celebration, Becky interfering it. So get ready for that.
So just to kind of wrap up the point on Becky Lynch,
yep.
There's not a doubt in my mind that with Becky facing the odds of Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon, that this match is going on last and Becky is winning because she's overcoming all of those odds.
Yep.
And she's going to come out of this the biggest star of them all. And then we see what happens after that. Because remember, Steve Austin, after he won at WrestleMania 14, Shawn Michaels went away and he was doing the house show loop with Triple H, who was not the star that he ultimately became.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got into the program with Kane and The Undertaker and Vince, and that's when it really took off, was more the program with Vince than anything else. So,
right, and the Stooges.
It leads me to this, because I opened up the Wrestling Observer and Red Meltzer, broken-handed Meltzer. So he wrote in his newsletter, quote, "This is most definitely not a done deal, but we know an idea for Becky Lynch versus Stephanie McMahon at SummerSlam was suggested. A second company source has said it's being talked about. The angle on Raw could easily be used as a start in that direction. It certainly looks like the McMahon's as heels against Lynch is a remake of the Stone Cold angle on the books. So if that's the direction, Becky wins the title, and then it probably gets back to Charlotte, it gets back to Ronda, and it leads to Becky and Stephanie at SummerSlam, if Meltzer's writing on to something.
Yeah.
So are we okay with this?
I'm fine with that. I think it's great.
Yeah, I agree.
It's fantastic. I have no issue with that. And plus, it's a win-win scenario because you have Becky Lynch go, and Stephanie McMahon is good in the ring when she trains, and we saw the match that she put on last year in that mixed tag there with Kurt Angle, Triple H, and Ronda Rousey's debut. So even if you do get the title off Becky, you do put it on Charlotte, and you know she's going to put someone else over or make them better. So it's a win-win for the company all around, no matter what scenario they choose.
And so I wasn't, when Stephanie had her one-on-one match with Brie Bella a few years ago, I wasn't offended by that performance.
No, not at all. She was fine. Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
So that brings us to WWE Presents Elimination Chamber this Sunday night. I originally wrote that 5 matches have been announced. I think that's up to 7 or 8 now. There are only 2 matches that really interest me. Of course, I want Finn Balor to win the Intercontinental Championship, but I feel like they're saving that for Mania, so that match kind of doesn't interest me. That program with Lashley doesn't do it for me. But they've really been pushing the Women's Tag Team Championship, and that will be decided inside of an Elimination Chamber. It's Nia Jax and Tamina against the Riot Squad of Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville against the Iconics, against Bayley and Sasha Banks, against Naomi and Carmella. So if I have to pick a winner for this, it's probably Nia Jax and Tamina, because Nia is still one of the hotter villains in the company, and Tamina's been there a long time, and I think they think that she deserves something. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably a quick switch to Bayley and Sasha Banks at WrestleMania in New York.
Sounds accurate. I mean, they're definitely the favorite going into this on paper, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But for fans, because, you know, they've been pushing their tag team, their friendship for such a while. And, you know, here we are, Jimmy, that, yeah, they could win at WrestleMania and then eventually after that have their own little rival, like I thought it would happen at some point this year. So that possibility is open in that scenario.
Well, supposedly Vince McMahon has changed his mind off and on about Bayley and Sasha Banks actually having a match against each other, like, multiple yep. times, and
mm-hmm.
that's all over the place. And I mean, Sasha Banks said in an interview the night before she was announced in a match against Ronda for the Rumble, she found yep. out the day before.
Exactly. So much can happen. So I like that call with Nia Jax and Tamina. Just two power horses.
Right.
And it's, yeah, I like that call.
The only other match that interests me on the show on Sunday is Daniel Bryan defending the WWE Championship in the Elimination Chamber. Again, this is kind of a crusade for me. I'd love to see Samoa Joe get the championship here. I'm just a major honk for him. Yeah. I think Bryan retains, and we'll see what happens for Mania. At this point, I'm on the John Cena challenge for 17 against either Joe or Bryan or AJ.
Love it.
It's fine. Doesn't matter who to me. Mm-hmm. John Cena challenging for the WWE Championship. Can he get the 17th title reign? That's the story. I think that's best for SmackDown. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, no, and I think Cena is going to reemerge from after the Elimination Chamber. I think that's a great scenario going into WrestleMania. And here it is right there. He can win the title in New York City and set the record. So it's a great scenario all around for John Cena and WWE. There is one other match that I'm actually looking forward to, Jimmy, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. Happy to help.
SmackDown Tag Team Championship, because I've liked what I've seen for The Miz and Shane McMahon, not just in the ring for the match they won at the Royal Rumble, but I really do enjoy their work on the microphone. And the Usos are one of the best tag teams I've seen in a long time. So I think this could be an under-the-radar kind of match, but I really am looking forward to seeing what The Miz and Shane have in store for each other, because I think we're both in agreement that it's only a matter of time before they do split and set something up for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that's the direction that they're going, is Miz and Shane at WrestleMania, and it just doesn't...
I like the story. I'm cool with it. I could just see so much happening. Miz is awesome on the microphone. You know, Shane is pretty, he's good on the microphone too. And I'm actually very excited to see how this all transpires.
I think I just, in my mind, I envisioned Miz being in the championship picture for WrestleMania.
So it's a letdown for you.
Whether it's AJ, Joe, Bryan, Cena. I thought that Miz was going to be either a Royal Rumble winner or win a certain match and get into the championship fight. And he didn't. So, the program with Shane is good because you're working with a McMahon.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see Miz get another run with the WWE Championship.
No, I think eventually, but for WrestleMania to bring you there, I'm okay with this.
Cause when you look at Miz is going to be a WWE Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to see him get another run with the big title so that he can be a multiple champion, multiple time WWE champion. It's a personal thing with me. It's not as much of a crusade as the crusade with Samoa Joe, but it's a thing for me.
Totally. I respect that.
Coming up next, I'm going to tell you why NXT is on the uptick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike, I want to give credit where credit is due. I was texting with our friend Bill Neville, who's part of the New Age Insiders crew. And by the way, they have Kofi Kingston coming on their program tomorrow or today, depending on if you're listening to this Tuesday night or Wednesday morning.
It'll be Wednesday, February 13th.
Yes. Yes, sir.
There you go.
Yes, sir. And in texting with Bill about the NXT LOL show that I attended, he wrote the following, quote, "They're peaking again, back up to the Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Sasha Banks level," unquote. So I wanted to dig a little deeper into that point and this NXT roster.
Yeah.
And this is recency bias. Was at the show, had a great time at the show.
Yeah,
fabulous.
Good seats.
It's nice to know people. The end of the Drew McIntyre, Bobby Roode era in NXT, it was terrible. It was really a down point for NXT. Now the roster has Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, Matt Riddle, Ricochet, Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era. The women's side needs a little bit more depth, but Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, Candice LeRae are all top building blocks. This grouping is about as strong a roster in wrestling as there is. It also made me think, NXT isn't really a developmental territory per se. It's really WWE's third brand. And I use that in air quotes because the fans seem to hate Raw, but they watch. They love SmackDown, but they don't watch. And they watch NXT on the WWE Network, and they go to all the takeovers, and they have passion, and they walk into the building, because we've walked into the building, and we have this feeling of wanting to love the show, and we know how to play the role. So as we've been to these takeovers, we 100% can feel the different energy in the building when there's a crowd that's excited to be in the building and knowing they're going to see a good show. Saturday, for example, was a really good house show. And that crowd thought Candice LeRae was going to win the NXT Women's Championship from Shayna Baszler. And I think that is because Finn Balor lost the NXT Championship to Samoa Joe in that building. So it's planted the seed that really anything can happen. And all of the takeover shows since April have been good, strong, or amazing. And the reason, Mike, is very simple.
Yep.
The storytelling is solid. It's consistent. Ciampa and Gargano have been crushing it as top guys. And now they're doing the two-man power trip as both hold single championship. Ciampa is the NXT champion. Gargano is the North American champion. That NXT crowd last spring and summer chanted F you Ciampa as he was coming to the ring without music.
Yep.
So they knew their part and they played it perfectly. And for the WrestleMania crowd that wanted nothing to do with Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, and they did everything possible to disrupt the main event of that show.
Yep.
When what should have happened when they hit the ring, if you as a fan are so outraged by what you're seeing in the ring, get up out of your seat and walk out. That's how you as a WWE fan can make a real statement. Don't spend your money on the product. When you have a match that you have no interest in that hits the ring, stand up, walk out. It seems pretty simple to me. And just to wrap up this kind of ranty point, NXT is really strong right now. It's a strong third touring brand. And having that text exchange with Bill Neville, the New Age Insiders, it made me really think into going deeper into why it's so good. So, Mike, your thoughts on that rant?
So, it really is a third brand, and it's got a good following. You know what, Jimmy? It kind of reminds me, for those that do not watch Raw or SmackDown, and for those that strictly do watch NXT, it's very similar to the ECW crowd only, okay? A very dedicated brand of fans and a very dedicated, knowledgeable group of fans too, as we know. From where I've been to two NXT shows in Lowell. And unfortunately, I couldn't have been there last week, the one you were at Saturday. You're saying the crowd was great. Doesn't surprise me, because what they do is, you know, Jimmy, for the house shows, they do smaller venues, more intimate. You're on top of the match. The sight lines are great, and that adds so much energy, okay? And NXT takeovers the night before a Royal Rumble, the night before WrestleMania, the night before SummerSlams, all of the big pay-per-views have become a must-see event. And the crowd is just so hot going into them. I think that speaks volumes for how far it's come. And the roster right now, the guys you mentioned, it's so deep. And really, the future is bright for a lot of them. It really is. And I know the women's side is a little thin right now for the NXT side. But, you know, you still have some good talent there. I know you said Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler is what Ronda Rousey should be.
Yeah, yeah. And how do I say her first name? Sane.
Carrie Sane.
Carrie Sane, thank you. Yeah. I think, you know, again, two top female talents right there in NXT. So they'll be called up to the main roster eventually, these guys. I have no issue with them not being called up in the very near future, because what we've seen at NXT has been the flagship for that brand right there. And I think it's a really good thing. It's a good situation for WWE to have their hands in right now, especially when they draw so well in crowds and you're so over every city you go to.
I'm not sure I want people called up.
That's what I'm saying. I have no issue with that either.
But because somebody was asking me, and I don't remember if it was on Twitter or in person, but what do you do with Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era?
Yeah.
They're main eventers. They have to come up and make an impact. And what worries me about these NXT call-ups is EC3.
Yep.
It took them how long to get a match on the show?
Right, right.
Did I miss Lacey Evans' debut on, you know, non-Royal Rumble match?
Mm.
Because they did a lot to put Lacey Evans over in that Royal Rumble match, and maybe I've missed her match since then, but I don't... Yeah.
Haven't seen her since.
It hasn't gone anywhere.
Right. Andrade?
You know, he at least has been wrestling Rey Mysterio, so that's a good spot for him.
Right, but...
Who am I missing? It's Nikki Cross's group. Sanity.
Oh, Sanity, Sanity yes,
got
yep.
called up after WrestleMania, and...
Not much.
Where are they? I mean, Nikki Cross right. is awesome. I love Nikki Cross. And they aligned her with Alicia Fox.
I mean, here's the other, yeah. Here's the other thing you could.
Damn it, she's crazy. So's Foxy. Let's put them together.
Here's the other thing you could do too, where it's just like.
But I guess my point, Mike, is that you have main eventers on the third brand, which may be the second brand, which it's not the one brand, but.
No, but you got a driving force behind you, though.
And I don't want to see I don't want to see Ciampa go up there and just be losing to everybody because of this factor, that factor, or another factor. Like him and Gargano are great. Him individually is great. Gargano individually is great.
Right. Right. So right.
Adam Cole is great individually, but with the group, like they should be the new Shield, and that should have been a program.
Right, and it's not, unfortunately. But I think it's a good scenario. I mean, maybe they clean house after WrestleMania a little bit with some of the contracts. You know, maybe you say goodbye to some of these guys and you call some up. That's a hypothetical situation. Or, you know, they get the call up toward the end of the year and start to get a big push where they deservedly should be in there for real character development. So much possibility, but I have no issue with them staying in NXT for being the face of the third brand, a very powerful brand, too, for WWE.
And, you know, talking about the Undisputed Era and the Shield, Mike, I think you have something on Roman Reigns.
Yeah, so Roman Reigns, some good news here, Jimmy. You know, it just seems like that he is going in the right direction after his announcement for leukemia. He was seen over the weekend at a World of Wheels autograph session and interacting with fans and looked pretty good. So, you know, when you have leukemia and any sort of, a blood cancer like that, there's a lot of time you can't really be touching fans or being close to them. So I don't think he was touching them handshake or more or less, but the fact that you're able to be close to them when your immune system is so low, that's pretty good news there for Roman Reigns. And, you know, the advancements in cancer research we've come, it's looking pretty bright for him to return. And he was at the World of Wheels at Indianapolis this past weekend, and he's actually going to be at the, well, I'm sorry, he was at the one in Pittsburgh last weekend, and he will be at the one at Indianapolis this upcoming weekend, too. So good news for Roman Reigns right there when he's in the public eye like that.
So there's a nugget on Roman Reigns that somebody told me before the Rumble.
Okay.
Or might have been after the Rumble. It was in the time frame of the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And it might be out there, it might not be. So if it's out there, I apologize. If it's not out there, hopefully I'm not speaking out of turn.
Yeah.
There was a scenario where Roman Reigns was going to be a surprise entrant in the Rumble.
Wow. Look at that.
And what happened was, and the reason why it didn't happen was because WWE Creative didn't want to have another situation where Roman is being force-fed on people.
So there you go.
And so that's why it didn't happen. And the scenario that's in play right now, if all of this information is correct, and who knows if it is or not, that Roman is going to help Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania for the Universal Championship.
I can
and
jump on board that.
They're going to do something with Dean, Seth, and Roman for WrestleMania. And if that's Dean's send-off, then that's Dean's send-off. But that right now is how I think that they're going to end up beating Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Which is interesting because if Seth Rollins does beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania,
yep,
he will have technically beaten Brock Lesnar twice at WrestleMania, whereas Roman and Dean failed.
So, wow.
Because
crazy.
Seth Rollins cashed in the Money in the Bank on Roman and Brock, so technically he beat Brock Lesnar that night for the WWE Championship. Dean lost to Brock at WrestleMania in Dallas. And then Roman lost last year in New Orleans to Brock.
Yep.
So if Seth beats Brock this year in New York, that's Seth Rollins now has two victories over Brock Lesnar, whereas it took Roman Reigns 3 years to get one.
And there's your storyline right there. You know, Seth Rollins saying, I'm the guy that beat the Beast and you didn't. So, boom, that sets it up right there. After that, he could very easily be a heel because, you know, Roman Reigns ain't going to be a heel, Jimmy.
I don't think so. I don't think at least in the short term, but then you look at Vicky Guerrero after the passing of Eddie Guerrero, and Vicky became one of the best villains that there ever was.
It worked. Yeah.
So
gotta ride the hot hand.
Yep. Mike, do you have anything before we close?
Let's see here. You know, I forgot to mention last week, congratulations to New England native Brian Malonis signing on with Ring of Honor. So that's a great situation for him going to Ring of Honor. Also, we got Chaotic Wrestling, Cold Fury coming up in March 15th. And Tommaso Ciampa will be there. He's making his return to Chaotic Wrestling. It's going to be in Haverhill. We're tweeting it out on the WrestleCast 985 account for Twitter for the information on the tickets. And by the way, in case he doesn't want you to know, a happy birthday to the man himself, Jay Stu. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
You look great for 21.
I know. I'm 38, and like I'm 48.
I had your cover.
So the Tommaso Ciampa event is Chaotic Wrestling. It's Cold Fury 18. This is their signature event. It is Friday, March 15th. It is Haverhill. You can get tickets at chaoticwrestling.com. Ciampa is one of the good ones. You will have a great experience with Tommaso Ciampa if you decide to go to this event and partake in the meet and greet with him. Short of the meet and greet, or in addition to the meet and greet, Chaotic Wrestling is one of the better local wrestling shows that you will go to. I talked to Brian Fury back in December. He's a good egg. Our friend Ilya, of course, is a worker there.
Anthony Green.
Yep.
Another good buddy of ours.
Yep. You do him on your time. there are a lot of good performers that you see now on different rosters who have come from Chaotic Wrestling. They're a good product. You'll have a good time. So we can't. They're also doing something for Connor's Cure WrestleMania weekend. This is going to be Saturday, April 6th from 2 to 5 p.m. It's at the Rahway Rec Center in Raleigh, New Jersey. And I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Okay.
R-A-H-W AY, New Jersey. It's 275 East Milton Ave. This is a WWE-sponsored event. All the proceeds go to, I believe all the proceeds go to, maybe I have the wording wrong, but there's going to be, if you go to the show, a big chunk of your ticket sale and whatever other items that they do there is going to go to Connor's Cure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing to do if you're going down for WrestleMania weekend. And I think we've put over Chaotic Wrestling enough.
Yes, we have. You know what? Deservedly so when they're doing work for charity.
Yeah. And they're good people there too. I wouldn't talk about them if I felt otherwise. I do want to close on this kind of a sad note. Older wrestling fans are aware of the greatness of WWE Hall of Famer Pedro Morales. He passed away today. He was the initial Triple Crown winner, holding the heavyweight, intercontinental, and tag team championships. And Mike, as I was doing my research on this, he held four titles. He had four runs as champion for 1,647 days. And I understand that the time and the era are different, but it's still impressive. He had a singular reign as heavyweight champion of 1,027 days. He was the Intercontinental Championship holder, combined 619 days over two reigns. And he held the tag team championship for one day with Bob Backlund because they had to forfeit it because they were both champions and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But Pedro Morales was one of my family's favorite wrestlers. My mom and dad and my late aunt used to go to the Boston Garden, see mm-hmm. Pedro as champion, see Bruno as champion. And Pedro Morales, one of the greats, is no longer walking the earth with us.
Saw a nice quote from WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart, who looked up to Pedro Morales, tweeting out, saying that he was one of the kindest, wisest wrestlers I ever knew. When I first started in WWE, he told me, quote, "You can't stop talent." And Bret said, "I followed those words for the rest of my career." So nice words from a lot of guys that looked up to him. His very famous match of the century at Shea Stadium with Bruno Sammartino. I believe it was 1971 or 72, but there you go. Two guys right there we've lost within a less than a year of each other. Bruno, of course, died last summer, and Pedro, the second part of that. But rest in peace and condolences to his family and friends.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, one programming note to close the show, to officially close the show. Elimination Chamber is Sunday. I will not be in town on Sunday.
Oh.
So I have to watch the show on Monday, and we will try to bang out a podcast either Monday or Tuesday of next week.
We're looking forward to that.
So stay tuned and check your local listings for that. So my apologies. I didn't realize until late that Elimination Chamber was Sunday. I have an engagement that is going to put me out of town. So you're going to be a little delayed on Elimination Chamber recap.
Hey, Jay Stu,
yeah.
We're all human. We're all human. So we work together and we get it done. That's all that matters.
Yes. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And a friend in need is a pest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.